John's Gospel, chapter 17. We continue our studies this morning in the high priestly prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ. And in John chapter 17, again, I want to think with you about that first word that our Lord uses. Father, he says. He lifts up his eyes to heaven and said, Father. I want to consider my subject this morning, laying the foundation. Laying the foundation. And looking at this word, Father, we have considered last week who it is that our Lord Jesus Christ addresses. But what I want to do this morning is to consider why he addresses him thus. Why he calls him Father. Why has the Lord chosen to use this term? I remind you, as we saw last week, that this is the only term he uses throughout this prayer. 6 times he uses it. 4 times he says, Father. He also says, Holy Father. And he says, Righteous Father. So the Savior repeatedly says it, and he only uses that term. He does not address his Father as Lord. He doesn't lift up his eyes to heaven and say, God. And nowhere throughout this prayer does he say, Most High, or Almighty. He uses none of those divine names that we often find in scriptures. And that is most unusual. You have only to compare our Lord's praying here with prayers, for example, in the Old Testament. For example, if you go through the Psalms. Now, Psalms 1 and 2 are different. They're not prayers. They're preface Psalms. But the prayers begin in Psalm 3. And they begin, Psalm 3, for example, begins, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Psalm 4 begins, Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Psalm 5 begins, Give ears to my words, O Lord. Lord and God. Psalm 6 goes, O Lord, rebuke me not in thine anger. And Psalm 7 commences, O Lord my God. Never, Father. And then if you take the New Testament praying, it was most common to address the Lord in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ as the Most High or Lord or God or Almighty. Take, for example, that parable of the Pharisee and the publican. Both pray. The Pharisee says, I thank thee, O God. And the publican says, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. But when our Lord Jesus Christ prays his priestly prayer, he only ever says, Father. No one had dared to address God as Father. But Jesus does it. And he does it all the time. And we have to ask, why? Why is he endeared to that name? Above all other name. Why does he keep calling him this? I think that's a very important question. And I think that the Lord is making a very strong declaration here when he tells us. He's making a very strong declaration to the Father. And he's making a very strong declaration to us as well who are listening to it and hearing it, because it's a public prayer. Now, the Father knows what the declaration is. But you and I have to ask why. And we want to try to answer that question as the Lord helps us and enables us. And really what the Savior is saying here, he's firmly declaring what all of these petitions are based upon. He's laying a foundation
upon which to put everything that he asked of God. He's laying a foundation, and it's a solid foundation, and it's a true foundation, it's a real foundation, and it's not a shaky foundation of sand. The Lord is basing his prayer and his desire and his petitions, he's basing them on his sonship. He's coming as a son to a father. He's going to ask for a lot of things. And his only plea is this: I'm your son. And that's why he says so reverently and so frequently, Father. On an earthly level, to illustrate it, if we were sons of a great king, and there was someone that we loved and failed for, maybe we have left the palace, maybe we've gone out in amongst the lower classes, so to speak. We've gone out and we've found someone that we're loved. We've left the palace and we've roamed the country and we've found someone we've loved. And we come back to the palace again. And we want to bring that loved one or those citizens that we've fallen in love with or whatever, we want to bring them before the king. We want to bring them into the presence of the king. We want to ask things for them. We want to ask petitions of them. We want the king to receive them. And so we come back to the palace. And what do? How are we going to get the king's heart? Very simple. We just say, Father, become as a son. And that would win his heart. We'd come in as the son and would say, Father, he's coming in as the son. And that's so important for our acceptance. He's pleading for us as a son to the Father. Father, thy son, glorify thy son, that thy son also may glorify. It's constant throughout this prayer. That's the foundation. So you understand what I'm trying to say. The relationship is unique. It's true that Christians are sons. We're sons of God. But we're not sons of God in the same sense that the Lord Jesus is. There's a vast difference. His sonship is unique. Whenever he taught us to pray, he said, you say, Our Father. Our sonship is common. My sonship to God is the same as yours. It's very common. It's the same, and it's on the same basis. And it's by adoption and in union to Christ. And we all can say, Our Father. But Jesus never said, Our Father. In fact, he said the opposite. He says, I ascend to your Father, plural, and to my Father. It's the same Father. But the sonship is not the same. It's not the same. His sonship is unique. His sonship is unchangeable. His sonship is eternal. He is the only begotten. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. His is the true sonship. And he has the nature that is divine. His sonship gives him the divine nature. Our sonship to God doesn't give us a divine nature. We're not gods. But he's God. He has the divine nature. He has the nature of God. He's the true Son of God. He's the eternally begotten Son. It didn't begin. It's always been. Because God has always been a Father. And God has always had a Son. It's an eternal relationship. It's unique. It's special. And the Savior is thus declaring his affection and his confidence and is laying the foundation for everything that he's ever going to ask. In this one word, Father. So in laying this foundation in this word, Father, we see three things about Christ's confidence. He has a great confidence, our Savior, as he comes before God. And that confidence is this: he's his son. So the first confidence is he's confident about his relationship. It's a very special and unique relationship, and he's confident about it. Now, this relationship is a sacred mystery. God sent his son, and his son returns for us sinners and pleads that relationship to get us the benefits of grace. It is a mystery. There's a mystery about this relationship. But he knows the love that he has to the Father, and he knows the love that the Father has to him. He knows it's a relationship of affection and love. The Father infinitely loves the Son, and he's confident of that. Jesus is confident of that. In fact, he said it, "The Father loveth the Son and have given everything into his hands. He's given me everything because he loves me." He's confident of it. He said in the upper room, you remember we looked at it, he says, "As the Father hath loved me." He was confident of the Father's love, and it was the love of God. And he says, "I've loved you the same." Even in this prayer times, he mentions this love. He says it there in verse 23, for example, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me." He's confident of the relationship of love. And then in verse 26, he says, "I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them." That's how he finishes the prayer. He starts it off, "Father," and then he finishes, "the love that you have for me might be in them." He's confident of his relationship with the Father. He's confident that he can build everything on it. He's confident of that. And he ever lives, the Bible says, he ever lives to make intercession for us. And this is all it's grounded on. "I'm your son. I'm your son, Father." Mary can't say that. She can't make intercession for us. None of the saints that are in glory, as much as we love them, they can't say that. There's only one who can say that. There's only one who ever lives to make intercession for us, and whose intercession is effectual, and that's Jesus Christ. Because he's the only one who can say truly, "Father." It is to be noted that the Lord Jesus is not in any doubt about his relationship to God. He's not in any confusion over the matter. You remember how the devil said to him, if thou be the Son of God," the devil would cast a doubt on the matter. But there's no doubt. Father, he can lift up his eyes and say, unhesitatingly, and without question, "Father." And at Calvary, they throw the same thing. If you're the Son of God, come down. Come down from the cross. But the Lord's not in any doubt about it. No matter what darts they hurl at him. So he looks up as a son. He goes in as a son. And there's no hesitating. No fears. Just a confidence and a holy boldness. The boldness of a royal prince. Because he is a prince Savior, coming before his Father King. When we pray, we do the very same thing, don't we? How do you pray? Whenever we pray, we plead the sonship of Jesus Christ. That's how we pray. We don't plead our sonship. "Father, I'm a son, hear me." No. We say, "For thy holy son's sake, hear me." That's how we pray. How did Paul pray? Paul prayed thus, "I bow my knees unto the God and Father of my Lord Jesus Christ. That's how I pray. I pray on the same foundation that Christ prays. His sonship. His sonship. And so we bow our knees too before the Father. So it's very important, brethren and sisters, that we have some understanding of and confidence in this relationship between the Father and the Son. Even the Father uses that as a grounds to plead with us. Do you remember how he said on one occasion, he said, "This is my beloved Son. He's my Son, and I want you to hear him. I want you to hear him because he's my Son." So even the Father pleads that ground when he's appealing to us. And he says, hear my Son. Hear the gospel. Hear his word. Hear his prayer. He pleads with us on the grounds of his Son. And brethren and sisters, then we should never question the sonship of Jesus Christ. And we should never relegate it to a non-fundamental. It's foundational. You know, there are some Christians who say he's not the eternal Son. It just began when he was born of Mary, this sonship. That's wrong. He doesn't plead his relationship to Mary. And what happened at the incarnation? He's pleading his relationship directly with the Father. It was God who sent his Son. He was a son when he was sent. He didn't become a son when he was born. He's a sent son. It's an eternal relationship. All right? So don't ever doubt that. That's stated in our creeds as part of the Christian faith. And so it's very important for our salvation too. So we see his confidence of his relationship. But we see also his confidence of an audience. He is sure of access. He comes in and he knows he's welcome. Now, there's no preparation. Now, if we have to come and see the Queen, you just don't walk in and address her. There's forms to fill in. There's applications to be made. You have to get a wee talk about procedure and how you have access into the Queen's presence and how you bow and the way you hold your hands and how you dress. There's a whole procedure. But there's no procedure for the Son. There's no procedure for the child of the Father. There's no preparation on Christ's part. He just lifts up his eyes to heaven and he says, "Father, immediate access without a mediator." Our Lord Jesus doesn't need a mediator. And I tell you, everything stops in heaven when Christ prays. A royal prince has always an audience with his Father King. Heaven is not closed to him. Heaven is open to him all the time. For he's a son. He's a son. Thy son. Father, it's thy son. You remember at the graveside of Lazarus? There you have it again. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, I thank thee that thou dost hear me all. I know that thou hearest me always. But for them that are here present, I say it. There's this confidence, this certainty of an audience. Thou hearest me." He knows it because he said, "I know that thou hearest me." He knows it. And we know it too. So he prays this publicly that we might know it. And so he's confident of an audience. And this very same thing, brethren and sisters, this is what gives us boldness. This is what gives us confidence in praying. Christ's sonship. He's our elder brother, if you know him. He's your Jesus. and he's your elder brother. He's the natural son. We are just adopted by union to him. And we plead his sonship. And we have an audience because he has the audience. He's at the front. And we're behind him. We come in his skirts and his garments. We come in clinging to him. We come in believing and trusting in him. He's our Jesus who we believe in. And he goes to the Father and he's an open door. And we're behind him. And we have confidence as well. But our confidence is in Christ. It's in Christ. Seeing we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. The one who can say, Father, thy Son. We only need Christ. And he has an access and an audience because he's the Son of God. Now, he also pleads his work. I know that. And we may come to that. He says, Father, I've finished the work. So he pleads that as well. That's part of the foundation. The blood of the Son of God is part of the foundation too. But we're not dealing with that today. Fundamentally, it's the person. It's the person. And the blood is only as powerful as the person that shed it. So it's a person's a foundation. All right? This sonship. So he's confident of an audience. And then lastly, he's also confident of all the answers to his request. Not only is he a son and a dearly only begotten son, but he has finished the work and he now goes into the presence of the Father. And he's confident that everything he asks shall be heard. You know, the Father has always loved the Son. And this love for the Son is eternal and unchangeable. It doesn't increase. And it's not capable of intensifying. And so when I say the following, I want you to know that I'm only speaking really metaphorically. If the Father ever loved the Son more, which is an impossibility. But if he ever could have loved the Son more, you know where he loved the most of all? On the cross, dying for our sins. He loved him so much then. And he raised him from the dead. And I tell you this, anything that Son asks, he'll be heard. He'll be heard in heaven. This is the most effectual intercession that is in the Bible. Every request is heard. Every request is answered. Everyone. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always. And the hearing there is not just an audience, but it also includes the answering. Lazarus will rise in John 11. Why will Lazarus rise? Because, Father, you hear me always. Lazarus will rise, because I want it. And that's why this is so comforting, this intercession. It's all answered. The Savior has himself observed earthly relationships between fathers and children. You remember how he said to the disciples, he says, What man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? I mean, it's unthinkable. If he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? And if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. He studied the earthly father-child relationship, though he entered not into it himself. But he studied it. And he said, even amongst you sinners, fathers give children what they ask. And the Father gives him what he asks. And if he asks for the salvation of your name, you will get that salvation.
And if he asks, calling your name and saying, make him holy and sanctify him through the truth of the Word of God, then the Word of God will benefit you and you'll be made holy. And it wouldn't matter tuppence who's preaching to you. It's because Christ is praying. That's why. I trust you see why he keeps saying, Father. It's the foundation. And it's a factual, prevailing prayer because of that. And this prayer has been answered. It was answered for the apostles. And we go through many, many examples how it's been answered in the apostles' lives. It's been answered today for us. And it's being answered for future generations of the church. I pray for them who also will yet believe on me through the word of the apostles. It's still being heard. The Bible says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But I tell you this, the effectual fervent prayer of the only begotten Son totally availeth. Absolutely and completely availeth. Not just much, but completely. And so that's how we pray. For thy dear Son's sake, in whom I trust, in whom I love, your Son, Father, I love your Son. We belong to thy Son, Father. He has bought me with his blood. He has called me in his word. I have embraced him with the arms of my faith, and I rest in him. And I say, Father, hear me for his sake. That's how we pray. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What rock is that? It's the rock of Peter. What utter blasphemy. Not Peter. The rock of the divine sonship. That's the rock. And it's laid down in this one word. Father. So who addresses him? And why he addresses him. And he tells us to address God the same. Say, Our Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name. My name, mind you. My name. He will do it. He will do it. Let's plead that name.